Good morning. Warm welcome to each of you, and especially to our mothers on this Mother's Day, which is also the fourth Sunday of Eastertide. The beautiful orchid up here to my left and to your right is in honor of all the mothers who are no longer with us. Thank you to Dolly Llewellyn for bringing that first service this morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors to sign. And if this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. And we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please do drop by and let us know this is your first time here. And we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. We're grateful to everyone who had their pictures taken for the new church director, and especially to Barbara Mayberry and Gail Gentry for their many hours. I do mean many hours. I think they probably put in a 40-hour week or more of getting everything arranged and also being present every evening this past week as we had our photos taken. Please read through the flyer that conveys information about a called board meeting next Sunday in the sanctuary here during the Sunday school hour to consider details for possibly seeking out a youth director for our growing group of children and youth here at Berea. Again, that's next Sunday here in the sanctuary during the Sunday school hour. Please read through the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the church property workday next Saturday, honoring our graduating seniors next Sunday, and in the sign up for summer camps at Tall Oaks, also the annual church picnic, as well as other activities in our fellowship of Berea Christian Church. Please also note that the wellness group that was scheduled for tomorrow, Monday, will not happen tomorrow, but instead will be postponed until next Monday, the 20th. I want to say a special word of thanks to Kathy Gorman, who has volunteered to help in our children's service here later on after our children's sermon, where we, of course, you see the growing number of kids here. So thank you so much, Kathy, for your help today. And there's also a new sign-up sheet in the back table to help with the Jacobo Children's transportation to and from school this upcoming week. This will be especially important this week as Michelle is scheduled for a major surgery on Tuesday. So thank you folks for your help in supporting this family at this time. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Just be determined and confident, and make sure that you obey the whole law that my servant Moses gave you. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do not be discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. Let us sing hymn number 66, stanzas 1 and 4.
Immortal, invisible God, only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest in light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praises we render, oh, help us to see that only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Thank you to our acolyte, Jatana Jacobo, this morning for bringing the Christ candle to the front of our sanctuary. May we bow in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we're privileged to be in your house this morning on a day that we celebrate the role of our mothers in our lives. We know that a mother's love is a reflection of your love for us and of Jesus, who gave of himself for our salvation. And because of Jesus' gift of total forgiveness and acceptance, we know that we will feel your everlasting love for all eternity. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit now as we begin our worship together. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come to the front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, found on page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear, things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Seeds by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Wow, we have got a full crew this morning. Of course, I supplied four of those kids, so... Brought them along. How are you guys this morning? Did you all remember to wish Mom a happy Mother's Day this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm going to ask your moms and see if you're telling the truth. Okay. Well, I have some stuff over here. Hiding behind Miss Carrie. See what we have here? What does that say? Right. Yeah. Okay, I have a book here, and in this book, there's all kinds of stories, and there's lots of different pictures that we can read, and we can look at the pictures, and Miss Jatana is handing me our upper room, which is a daily Bible study guide for adults, and it has a picture on the front. So what do you think all of these things have in common? And y'all can't answer. You were at the first service. You know the answer. What do you think, Chitana? That's true. That's true. But they're all art. All the pictures are art. It's the description of art is something that is created in our minds and then with our hands. So something that we imagine or see, and then we create. So you know what that means? Again, you can't answer. You know. It means every single one of you is a piece of art. Because why? Why do you think? That's right. God thought about you, and then he made you. So you are all beautiful creations from God. Beautiful pieces of art. And not only that, but you are useful pieces of art. Because God created you with a purpose, didn't he? He didn't just plop you down there like a big old blob of Play-Doh, did he? Nope, you have a purpose. You're supposed to share and spread the love of Jesus and the love of God, aren't you? So, whenever you're out there and maybe you're feeling a little blue or a little sad, just remember, you're a beautiful piece of art that God created for a purpose. Gonna remember that? Absolutely. All right. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing so many beautiful pieces of art to our service today. Thank you for all the beauty that you have put in the world. But especially, Lord, thank you for our mothers today, those that are with us, those who are not. And thank you that we were able to be mothers, the greatest gift that you could have given us. Help us to always remember to spread your love and your peace and your grace wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this new week, we especially want to lift up Michelle Jacobo as she will be undergoing rather significant surgery at the KU Medical Center on Tuesday morning of this week. Jesus, Michelle, and all of your family, you're all certainly in our prayers in the midst of this journey. We also want to mention that Jerry Hamer is now home. She's certainly delighted to be back home after several weeks of rehabilitation. Also, we continue to lift up Bryce Stamen as he is continuing his recovery from knee replacement surgery. Right, Gail? We're just glad that he's making progress. We'll just keep lifting him up in prayer. Please remember, Dorinda Hoax, she is again at out and about with another one of her shows, this time over in Oklahoma, but again with the loss of her husband, John, each day just certainly has its challenges. We remember Betty Barnes. We also remember Arlita White's sister, Mary. We want to remember Dave and Rita Dyer's friend, Lauren, and her daughter, Nora, an eight-month-old child who is needing a liver and is on the liver. She's at the very top of the liver transplant list, but as I understand, one of the concerns is that at her age, she can only accept a certain size liver, you know, not a full adult. So a lot of complications in the midst of that for that family. We remember Val Stringers. He was actually able to be in worship with us this early service. And we remember her brother, Matt Mattson, and certainly others in our midst. And may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence in prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the privilege to assemble in your house this Lord's Day, as we are always mindful of your great compassion and grace for all of your children. And on this Sunday, set aside to honor our mothers, we pray your blessing upon expectant mothers as they await the arrival of children for whom they will be most responsible. We pray your blessing for new mothers who are realizing the great responsibilities set before them in the daily care of infants. We pray your blessing for those mothers who may feel stressed and at times distressed as they strive to balance the tasks and challenges of their children's care, work, and the multitude of tasks required for daily living. We pray, O God, for your blessing upon those mothers among us who may have grave concerns, and for those mothers who may have lost their children and indeed mourn their loss. And for the great love our mothers give to us, we are forever grateful, as we also know your great love will provide for our mothers strength, guidance, and hopefulness, as you care so much for our mothers and for all your children through the centuries and the generations. On this Mother's Day Sunday, it is with thanksgiving and praise that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I believe Elizabeth has our scripture reading. There you are, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is from Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, and chapter 2, verse 10, found on page 48 in your pew Bible. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine boy, baby, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, as she said, "I drew him out of the water."
Thank you.
The confidence and assurance that our mothers give us when we are young was once illustrated one Sunday when a Sunday school teacher asked one of her students, "Tell me, Johnny, do you say prayers before eating a meal at your family's dinner table?" And Johnny responded, "No, ma'am, we don't have to. My mom's a really good cook." And that's what you call really great confidence and assurance in your mother. As we gather at the Lord's table, may we as God's children have an equal measure of confidence and assurance when it comes to the blessing of our souls in eternal life. For it is through Christ's sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection that we too have the assurance of life eternal. As Paul tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, God's Spirit joins himself with our spirit to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. Our communion hymn this morning, it's hymn number 561, "It Is Well With My Soul," as we sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my loss, thou hast taught me to say, "It is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. May God haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Gail leads us in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, a day that we may set aside and come and worship you. As we come to this table today, we're reminded of the tremendous sacrifice that was made on our behalf so lovingly and so willingly. As we take this cup and eat this bread, may we be filled with your Holy Spirit to just overflowing. And as we leave this place today, may we go out and be the disciples that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
A math teacher once asked his pupil, "With you, your mother and father, and four siblings in your family, what portion of a piece of pie would your mother give you for dessert after supper?" Without hesitation, the student said, "1/6." To which the teacher asked, "Are you sure that's the right answer?" And the student replied, "Certainly, because my mom would say she really wasn't hungry for pie." As mothers are so often eager to generously give to all their children, so also we know that God is eager to be generous to us. Therefore, we offer a portion of our resources back to God in thanksgiving for the abundance of our blessings. Doug leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, because we know that without you we have nothing. As we gather our tithes and offerings, let us give back a portion of what you have given us. In this we pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. And I've asked Doug if he would not mind speaking to the congregational meeting issue that you see is in your bulletin with the flyer. And of course that Jim mentioned that will be taking place next Sunday during the Sunday school hour. Doug?
Most of you know me. I'm Doug Gentry. I am vice chairman of the board and chairman of the personnel committee. And we're asking for you all to come next Sunday. We encourage you all to attend next Sunday at the Sunday school hour, 9:45, between the services, for a very important congregational meeting, which we're going to be discussing two issues and two votes. The first one is to approve the job description for adding a youth director to our staff, and the other is to approve a launching of a stewardship campaign for the funding of our 2020 budget and the funding of the new youth director's position. You know, we're very excited about the growth of our children's ministry in our church. As you see from the children that came up front, I mean, we have 20 to 25 children in both services, if you add them together, each Sunday, that participate in the children's message, children's church, and our Sunday school. We've had 5 confessions of faith and baptisms this year, which we're very excited about. The education committee is also adding a new Sunday school class for the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade children led by Phil and Joy Myers. So we're excited about that. And the personnel committee, the education committee, and the church board believe that Berry Christian Church is ready to expand our ministries by adding a youth director to our staff. This will allow our church to provide the programs needed for our junior high and high school youth to guide them in their spiritual path, learning more about God and the church. And we'll also free up Jim and Dennis and other volunteers to focus on other needed adult programs that this church needs. But this endeavor, however, will not succeed unless we have the whole congregations being informed and also to have their support. So we have emailed a copy of corrected youth director's job description to everybody. But if you don't have email or the internet, there's a copy back there on the table in the foyer. We want everybody to pull up that copy, to read it, and to pray about this big step for our congregation. And we'll all see you next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you. Again, we certainly do want to encourage you to be present for that meeting. So first of all, we can just give you more details about what is really going on. Most folks attend one service or the other, but don't really see the full scope of everything that's taking place in the life of the congregation. And the bottom line is, whether or not we are able to bring on board either a part-time or full-time youth director is essentially dependent upon how our congregation responds, and we won't know how our church responds until we ask, right? And so that is the reason for the quest to see if we can have the job description approved and see if we can have the request for a capital campaign to seek out whether there are resources among us to make this venture possible. You've certainly seen the children, and we praise God that in the 4 years that Carrie and I have been amongst you, we have certainly seen the number of children in our midst grow, haven't we? We just praise God for that, and we lift up that concern. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer as we begin our message. Merciful God, we are grateful for this Mother's Day, in which we truly celebrate the courageousness of the mothers and women among us. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. The stage for this morning's scripture reading is actually set in the first chapter of the book of Exodus, where the text tells us, beginning with the 7th verse, that the Israelites had many children and became numerous and strong throughout Egypt. And a new king came upon the scene after the death of Joseph, and that king was very concerned about the fact that the Israelites were growing in number and in strength and were perceived to be a threat to the Egyptian Empire. In other words, this is their immigration control that they're trying to put into place here. As the Egyptians put slave drivers over the Hebrews to crush their spirit with hard labor. But even in spite of that, the number of Hebrew people began to continue to increase. And so finally, with verse 22, it tells us that the Pharaoh issues an edict. He says, take every newborn Hebrew boy and throw him in the Nile, but let all the girls live. In other words, every newborn male child was to be put to death among the Hebrews. Wow, what a terrible edict. And that leads us to our text of Exodus chapter 2. During this time, a man from the tribe of Levi, of course, married a woman from the tribe of Levi, which was very common in the time period, and she bore him a firstborn son. And, of course, you know who that is, don't you? And she saw that this child was a fine baby, and she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, what did she do? You know the story from Vacation Bible School, from Sunday school. She had a reed basket. She covered it with pitch or tar so that it would be watertight. She placed the baby in the basket and had it cast into the Nile River. To some extent, she was doing what she was told, wasn't she? Casting the child into the river, but with a little bit of help. And of course, you know that as the text tells us in verse 4, the baby's sister stood some distance away to see what would happen to him. And of course, you know that the Pharaoh's daughter noticed the basket, sought it out, found out, oh my, this is one of the Hebrew babies, and obviously a male Hebrew baby. And in her own grace and love, she just could not see that child being put to death, did she? And she makes arrangements with the help of Miriam to see that the child is cared for by who? By a Hebrew woman. Who did it happen to be? But Moses' own dear mother. You know the story. But you know, the thing about Bible stories is that we often look at them as if they're like fairy tales. And we think, oh my, it had a nice happy ending. But we do not really comprehend the gravity of what is taking place in the story. As you read through this particular story, we ask the question, well, who was the woman with the baby? What was her name? Do you know what was the name of Moses' mother? Got one. Anybody else actually know her name? Carrie knows. That's because she went to catechism in the Catholic Church when she was little. She did. She learned all those stories. She knows more about the Bible than I do. I do believe. Okay, what's her name? You know, the story doesn't tell us, does it?
It's on the sermon title.
If you read your bulletin. Her name, of course, is Jochebed. There's other ways to pronounce that, but that's the way I'm going to pronounce it. And the only time you see her name is in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, when her name is simply a portion of the listing of names in order to verify a Hebrew heritage. Other than that, we don't know her name. In the story, the sister's not mentioned, right? Her name's not given. Miriam's name is not mentioned there in the story. Neither is the name of the daughter of Pharaoh. Is there a name? No. Time period in which male dominance was profound. You don't even bother to mention names of women, you see, in the economy of words. But what we have to understand is that as we look at this story, there was really a profound level of risk that not only Jochebed, but Miriam and Pharaoh's daughter was willing to go through just for the salvation of one infant Hebrew boy, right? Now, as we look at the story, we think, oh, well, isn't it really something how all that worked out? I think what we really have to understand is that Jochebed was probably extremely resourceful and that she went to great lengths to put this scenario together for a certain outcome. We need to understand that the Egyptians and their servants actually lived very close within close proximity of one another, and that the Hebrews were, after all, not only day laborers, but many of them were actually the servants of the Egyptian upper class. Was Jochebed one of them? Was Miriam one of them? You know, we don't know for certain. But if they weren't part of that servant class, they certainly had connections. To the extent that we must have realized that Jochebed must have been thinking, okay, what plan can I devise to see that my son's life is saved? And what better way to do it than to save her son right underneath Pharaoh's nose? Right? Ha! Now, what we have to comprehend, however, is that this took great courage, because Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter, all three of them were at the risk of the penalty of death for disobeying the Pharaoh. But yet the care of this one little boy meant so much to them that they were willing to play their part to see that his welfare was provided for. Another thing that's rather interesting about this story is that as you read Exodus chapter 2, Who's the firstborn child of Jochebed? Moses. But as you read the story, who's Miriam? She's mentioned as what? Older sister. How do you make sense of that? Well, you have to understand that many portions of the Old Testament are fragments of material that were eventually all put together like a series of newspaper articles from different newspapers. You kind of put all the different bits and pieces of information together to finally come up with a narrative so that you really feel like you have an understanding of what's going on. As the material was edited through centuries, what we have to understand is that in the actual Hebraic language, when it is talked about Miriam in its initial form, the text actually says that she was like a kinsman. That meant that she was a Hebrew sister, if you will, but not necessarily a blood-related sister. Same way with Aaron. A kinsman, but not necessarily a brother. But as time went on, just to give the story a little bit more beef, it was edited in such a way that Miriam became a real sister, blood-related sister, and Aaron became a blood-related brother of Moses. Just like, you know the story of your uncle telling the story of the fish that he caught? It gets bigger with each telling. So it is here in this story, there's more emphasis put upon the relationship with Miriam and Aaron to Moses so that their positioning is more significant. But whatever all that be, in the end, it really doesn't matter so much as the facts of what happened to save Moses took place. That's what counts the most. So whether Miriam and Aaron were actual brother and sister, who cares in the end? Did they do their part? Yes. And especially in this particular story, what we see here is that all three women were willing to go and risk their very lives for the benefit of an infant child. And at the time, did they know he was going to become president? No, they just knew he was one little boy who needed saving. Now that's great love, is it not? So, what we celebrate on this Mother's Day is the courageousness of Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. And what does this tell you and me? It tells you and me that we also ought to be really thankful for the courageousness of mothers, for the extent that they are willing to take high risk and offer much for the benefit of their children. We remember and we thank the mothers who have had the courage to work two or three menial jobs so that their children could have opportunities better than themselves. In my Sunday school class, one of our classmates was talking about how his mother was one of those mothers who worked the two to three jobs. And yet, as this child and the other children in the family were growing up, they never thought they were having to do without. Why? Because the mother always provided for them at her own expense. It wasn't only until he became adult that he really realized how much his mother sacrificed for him and for the other siblings. We remember and we thank the mothers who have had the courage to stand up for their children when there's been an injustice, whether that's in the midst of a school environment, a neighborhood environment, or other such social gathering. We remember and we thank the mothers who have put in the long hours making that special dress, making that uniform, baking those cookies, baking that pie, for whatever fundraiser event that's necessary for the various organizations that children have been involved in. We remember and we thank mothers who have spent many a sleepless night caring for you and caring for me in the midst of grave illness, We may not even remember the circumstance. We were so young. But if it were not for their care, what would have happened to us, right? Courageous mothers, courageous women, we celebrate them this Mother's Day as we remember the courage of Jochebed, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 556. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4, Trust and Obey. 556. May we stand and sing, please.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We hope you have a most wondrous Mother's Day afternoon today. And may we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful God, as we depart, we know we are privileged to have the courage to step forward and to do what we may for others in ways that can truly be a great benefit. We pray for your guidance as we journey forward the new week. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is light to that above. When we are called to part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to